In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, just before I start, I've got a picture which I'm going to invite you to have a quick look at and then pass on. You'll see the relevance of that in just a moment. Well, the artist Amedeo Modigliani was one of Italy's best-known modernist portrait painters. On one occasion, a subject of one of his paintings asked why he had painted him with one eye open and the other eye closed. The artist answered, "With one eye you see the world, with the other you see yourself." But this is also a way of reading the scriptures, seeing with one eye the world around us, with all its difficulties and joys, and with the other, seeing the human soul, with all its frailty and audacity. Living with such awareness empowers the human heart to rise above a pessimistic view of the present to an optimistic view of the future, just like Julian did. We are not always in control of the world we see around us, but how we interpret that world depends on our other eye, the eye that sees ourselves. Do we approach life with resignation or with confidence, with distrust or with hope, with fear or with courage? Those called to be prophets had to answer these questions with both honesty and realism. To live with courageous hope in the midst of an impending crisis, to face down the darkness and usher in the light. To be a prophet is to be an outsider, to be drawn up to a critical height and allowed to observe with God's all-seeing eye not only the present reality, but what lies beyond it. Those who are already outsiders are given a head start because all that they see comes to them fresh, their faculties tuned in another environment. But Isaiah, who comes to us in our Old Testament reading today, was very much an insider, according to rabbinic tradition, a descendant of the royal house of Judah, the nephew, perhaps, of King Amaziah. Isaiah prophesied during the reigns of four kings of Judah in the 8th century BC. It was a pivotal period of Judea's history and saw the rise of written prophecy. It was also the period defined by the German philosopher Karl Jaspers as the Axial Age, in which there occurred a worldwide religious revolution that proved critical to the spiritual development of humanity. Karen Armstrong says that we have never surpassed the insights of the Axial Age. In times of spiritual and social crisis, people have repeatedly turned back to it for guidance. At the beginning of the book of Isaiah, in chapter 6, we hear in dramatic description of how Isaiah found himself being cleansed in the heavenly court when a seraph touches his lips with a live coal from the altar of God, a ritual commission for a lifetime of prophecy. This sense of being cleansed from sin became very important for Isaiah. As baptized Christians, we sometimes lose touch with the power of this moment in our journey, especially when it took place as a child. In order to respond to God, we have to have an experience of his grace. Often it is the message of the grace abounding God that has not got through in our witness and in the preaching of the church. We either claim God for our own or live as though we are not forgiven. Isaiah speaks eloquently against a construct of a God who is for us. Too often a source of anxiety. Are we in the right before him? Can we count on his approval and support? Rowan Williams observes that God has been used even to bless crusades and for all sorts of things. And the God we then capture and display as our ally is most emphatically a God who is there to condemn. Isaiah is clear that liberation is needed, but our unsatisfied longings, the source of our anxieties and defensiveness, are met in abundance in the everlasting arms that enfold us. You who thirst, come to the waters. You that have no money, come, buy and eat. It is the scandalous, profligate generosity of God that encounters our need, not a system of religious law and observance. One thing is required, however, a willingness to listen and listen carefully, to incline the ear and come to him. Listen, says Isaiah, so that you may live. And if we listen, there is something that supersedes our frail negotiations, our fragile arrangements for security, our identifications of where value lies in the spiritual life, both here and hereafter. There is an everlasting covenant of the line of David that speaks beyond Israel to the nations. The true God thinks outside of our box, his thoughts not constrained by the walls we build or the frontiers that we establish, the constructs behind which we hide. Like the rain and the snow refreshing the earth, his word shall not return to him empty, but accomplish that which he purposes and succeed in the thing for which he sent it. In this way, accepting our condition of temporality and mortality, we are enabled to make our descent towards death an ascent to the Father. Judgment, not a motivation for fear, but an appeal for reconciliation. This is the fullness of Isaiah's message, not merely that all will be well, but all will be well if we will what God wills. Not everyone can hear this, but then, as Modigliani's painting also shows, a nod is as good as a wink to a blind bat. Sanctifying God, your gift to us, is one who overcame sin which enslaves and makes us victims. Send us to your world and, like Isaiah, to speak the truth of peace, to stand with those who suffer, to show another way through Jesus Christ, the life of all things. Amen.